Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Soul Sisters. Jesse and Dara here with a awesome, awesome band that we were thrilled to meet and have on the show. They're called Joseph. No, we have not broken the rules and invited a guy on the show. It's three sisters, Natalie, Allie, and Megan, and the name of their band is Joseph, and they are phenomenal. Their voices are insane. They sing for us at the end of the conversation. We could not believe how great they sounded in the room. You're going to love it. They are just awesomely intelligent, funny, talented, cool as hell women and sisters, and we had a good time, and we think you will too. So let's not delay. Let's get right to today's chat with Joseph.
You said you were celebrating last night, but really, like, yeah, you've probably been celebrating. You're going to celebrate tonight because it's tomorrow officially, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're going for it.
We might celebrate by sleeping tonight. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
They're different kind of parties.
Celebratory
snores. That's what happens when you start the celebrations too early in the week. You get to the main event and then you're like, good night.
Bye, sorry.
Tapping out.
So good that, but no.
Yeah. Okay, well, since there are so many voices on this podcast, I feel like we should go through. You can each introduce yourselves, and then listeners, try to remember which voice correlates to which name.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Good luck.
I could speak more distinctively than I do, maybe.
Yeah, if you could each pick an accent.
Yes.
Okay. And then commit to it.
Right, right. Oh, wow. I can't do that on air.
Okay.
Next time.
On air.
Remember it for next time.
Okay, great. Switches between like three accents all the time.
I do. I start with British and end, you know.
With like a Hispanic accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What's that about?
It's tough. It's,
I don't know. It's fluid, you know. Okay, I'm Natalie. This
Hi,
is
Natalie.
My voice.
I'm Megan. This is my voice. Is this mine?
I'm Allie.
Mm-hmm. And that's Allie's voice.
Mm-hmm. That's Allie's voice.
That is mine.
So I presume Megan and Allie are the twins of the trio.
Yes.
Okay. But your voices are not the same.
Thank you for noticing that. Right. That's cool.
I think that
those are my astute 9:30 a.m. observations.
Yes. I think that Megan's voice is lower when she talks, but my voice is lower when I sing.
That is true.
Oh, I thought you sang higher a lot.
I sing higher a lot, but technically I'm an alto.
Okay.
So one of those tricky things, I realized that because Allie's, I mean, do we want to get into the...
Let's get into it.
Okay. Because Allie's voice has that lower, warmer, richer kind of tone to it. When she sings high, it cuts through more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because Megan has like a brighter, airier kind of feel when she sings lower, that has more life and vibrance to the lower note.
Wow.
How do you feel
approve?
About that description?
I agree.
Yeah.
And what would you say about her voice?
Yeah, what do you want to
turn the table and say something about me?
It's very punchy and loud.
Do you like it? Am I a good singer?
Yeah, you
are. Oh my
gosh,
am I a good singer? Tell me I'm good.
You are. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, are you the oldest?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
What is it?
Feeling that vibe here.
Yeah.
Four years.
Yeah.
So okay. That obvious. Yeah.
4 years. That's significant.
It is, yeah.
Because in the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a brother in between us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he also
musical?
I'll just leave the room and you can do this for both of us.
He is, but he doesn't do anything about it.
Okay, he's not professional about
Mm-mm.
it. Has he ever jumped in with you guys?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's waiting for the invitation.
Oh my gosh. No, we're waiting for him to volunteer.
Oh, really? Okay.
What does he play or sing? Or, I mean, is he a...
I mean, it's a hobby. You know, like he sings and plays guitar. Okay. But he is in technology. That's his jam.
Mm.
He's in software
development. So when this started, was he not like, hey guys?
No.
His life is so interesting. Klausner. If we talk about he has a very interesting life going on, so yeah. He doesn't need us. He's cooler than us.
No.
Yeah, he is.
Yes. I meant like, no, he doesn't need us. That's what I meant.
No, he's not cooler than us.
He is cooler than
that was
us.
That Bloody Mary delay. Yeah. I'm like, 2 seconds there we go. Late.
So real.
Are your parents as cool?
Yes.
I love like, that. Did you grow up in a musical home?
On the scale of cool in our family, I think it goes Ryan, our parents, and then us.
Yeah.
and then keep going. Then what's the hierarchy of cool at this table?
Oh, right. Like, oh, and then I'll take Allie's the coolest. Yeah,
thank
Allie's
you?
For sure the coolest.
Thank you.
Probably the coolest least. Always knows it too.
Yeah.
Okay, very funny.
You're probably next and probably me last.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel it.
You don't feel very cool.
Yeah, but I feel confident in my non-coolness.
Oh, but that makes you cool.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Now I think I just rose to the top. I'm not sure. Stuff.
You're all. All right. So let's set the scene for what's happening for you guys right now.
Yes.
You have, is this your first album on a label
mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
coming out tomorrow? Okay. Your previous mm-hmm. album was self-released. Mm-hmm. Okay. So does this feel like a bigger stage because it's
huge.
With a label?
Much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like leaps and bounds.
Totally.
Yeah.
Their arms like stretch way further than ours ever did. So we're
right.
like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, can you give us an example of how that?
I mean, it's night and day. I mean, when we released the first album, it was our big strategy was, okay, we're going to do Noise Trade, which is amazing. And we got these emails and we sent them out to people and said, who wants to host a house show?
And wait, what's Noise Trade?
It's a cool website where basically they promote bands by putting their album up for free in exchange for an email address.
But you can, but the fans can,
you can also
like,
donate.
Yeah,
yeah cool. You can also donate for the music.
Yeah.
But
so you could like make a bunch or make nothing because most people don't download it for free.
Right.
But you get their email address and zip code.
Right. Exactly. So for an undiscovered artist like us, it was great exposure.
Yeah.
And then we
gave us a huge mailing
up.
List. And mm-hmm. then we like made a whole house show tour off of it.
But you were already doing house shows before this, right?
Whoa,
Natalie
yes.
was.
Okay.
Natalie.
I did your research.
Yeah, I was.
But so, okay, but that's how Joseph started out, mm-hmm. is doing these shows.
Uh-huh. Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Wait, but you were doing it by yourself?
Yes, I'm going to need the entire story. Whoa,
you
whoa.
Rewind?
Very, very, whoa, very whoa, detailed whoa. Story, because for a couple of reasons. Number one, so I sing in a band with, I'm one of three singers in band
oh
with
gosh.
Brian Kesley, who's now working with you.
The yes.
Amazing,
he's
wonderful
fantastic.
Brian Kesley.
Yes.
And also one of my dearest friends from college, whom I sang a cappella with,
oh, cool.
is now just starting her own band with her two cousins.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
And they're starting out in Boston, in the Cambridge, Boston, Providence yeah. area. And I was texting her that I was going to interview you guys. And she was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I love them.
Cute.
Please ask them from Rosemere Road, the name of her band, Kara's band. How exactly do you go from playing living room shows to playing to opening for James Bay and
oh
all of these
gosh.
Things that you're doing? So I need the entire story in detail.
Oh my God.
Okay, where do you want them to start?
I want them to start.
Birth?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Birth.
Let's do that.
Well, we were born.
No, I think I can do this in kind of bullet points.
Okay, cool.
Actually, it's really interesting. We've had a lot of like friends or like people from Portland and Seattle recently kind of that were, you know, that are in the music scene as well, just being like, tell me what happened, you know, because it is music in the way of like your progression in your career is so mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person's journey is different
mm-hmm.
and no two stories the same. So it's like, I find it fascinating as well.
And it seems like your story is pretty not knowing the details, it feels charmed from just
oh,
the
yes,
like little way that I know.
Yeah, it feels that way.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we feel extremely lucky. It's a weird thing to be like, okay, wow, it's this. It's like these equal parts. Like you have to say to yourself, like, "Hey, good job, you're doing it." Like you know, like
you worked hard. For
you're
this.
Working hard.
That's yeah. what it always is. It's like you yeah. put in the work, but yep. then that mm-hmm. other extra ephemeral thing has to
oh
happen.
My gosh.
Right,
yeah. and that's yeah. the thing that you can't. I think a lot in this question. Like, okay, we had a lot of support going into mm-hmm. it. Like, we have incredible parents that basically not only like have. literally provided for us financially and like with our, you know, they housed us and everything. But seriously, belief, like every single time it would be like, I don't know, from the beginning of when I first was like, I would love to write a song, you know, but that seems impossible. Like we have parents that would
Dreamers.
Say, yeah, they would just be like, you can, you know, someone's going to do it. Why not you? Like you can do that. And then
put
like,
your stuff in our house and get on the road because nobody can do that normally at like the small stages. Cause you don't, you have to like keep a job and all this stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. they were, I consider that to be like our biggest, you know,
like from the jump, that was you had that foot forward.
And I when people are like, how did this happen? It really is like, I say like, wow, we're so privileged to have that, you know, to have that, to have people like that supporting us. And we don't take that for granted. Nothing would have happened without that. But
right. But on the flip side, a lot of people have supportive parents and they aren't doing what you're doing. So tell us the rest of it.
Okay.
From the beginning.
True. Okay. So when I went to college and was like, my dad, I'm going to talk about my dad in the beginning a lot because he was just like, you know, you should study something that you already enjoy and just try to be the best that you can be in it. And so did that. And it was a really cool experience. And toward the end of it, had an opportunity to move to Nashville and intern. And I thought that was kind of cheesy and like cliche or something. But really I was just covering up this insecure thing of like, well, I'm not really good enough for, you know.
Wait,
like,
what did you study in college?
Music. Vocal performance, okay. Classical. Yeah.
Where? Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
Seattle Pacific University. Yeah. Okay. It was a small liberal arts school. So
but just to take it back for one second, was there music? Did you guys make music as young kids together?
No.
Mm-mm.
I was like, I had to be the performer. I was like in front of everyone, you know, like that was
playing guitar, singing.
I didn't play guitar until my senior year of college. But like prior to all of this music stuff, that was like my thing. Right. And Megan and Allie, I was not, you know.
Not
inclusive. I wasn't very inclusive.
Were you in musical theater too? Like, was it like big showy stuff? But you guys were not into that.
Well, we did it because my mom wanted to do musicals when we were in high school, and our class was the one that like had the most singers, and so we did that because of that. But yeah,
but it was really more your thing.
It was like an Natalie thing. I don't know. Yeah.
So then, how was Nashville for you?
So interesting because I worked at this tiny, tiny, tiny studio out in Franklin, and there was like a lot of disillusioned, like jaded session players, you know, that were just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. They didn't seem like into their craft anymore. It felt very like survival mode. And I thought that was really interesting. But and just being in that scene, I just like soaked it up so much. And it was a really important moment. And learned to play the guitar and wrote the first song that I was like, oh, I actually like this song. Wow. That's crazy. That's a nice feeling.
Have we heard that song?
No, that song does not get heard anymore.
We can perform a special version of it. No.
And then I'm trying to think of like,
so you were interning in a recording studio?
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, I love how far
and
back
that is like, I know. And I'm like, and it was, it was just the moment, I guess, where it was like, okay, I want to try and write songs. I want to try and do this. So then the next year, senior year of college, is the year everyone's like, what are you going to do? Yeah. Like, what's your path? And we had some like people who wanted to develop me as an artist. And they were like, we have all these connections and we're going to make you this big deal. And like
country
kind of
star.
Yeah. They were like, we'll make you a country singer.
Were
like,
you playing country and writing country songs?
They were like, I was trying it out, and that wasn't like what I was drawn to necessarily, but I was like, oh, that could be fun and whatever. And that kind of like began this thing, and there's a lot of like ambiguity there. It's like if we get into those details, it'll be like a murky mire of like trying to trudge through too much. But like,
okay, well, what was your main takeaway from that experience?
So I moved to LA then after graduating, and basically after this meeting in Nashville with this big shot at CMT, he was like, you should just go play. You should just go play in front of people. Cause he was really nice. They brought me in to play for him, and I was clearly like not, you know, I just started playing guitar. Like it wasn't special.
Was that something you were very eager to get good at, playing and singing
together?
Oh
my gosh. Yes. I distinctly remember a show where I was noticing how easy it was for the person playing guitar to not look down at his hand. Yeah. And I was like, how do you get there?
Yep.
How do you get to that place where you don't have to look at your hand?
Trying to figure that out with a tambourine right now.
That's weird. Yeah.
You're like afraid of missing it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
That's
so what happened because after that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, I was just continuing on that, just like the added difficulty of like getting up and performing your own music and,
oh my gosh,
playing an instrument that you're not terribly comfortable with yet. It's right.
Just incredible. Oh yeah.
So you should skip to Topher.
Okay. Yeah. To Topher. No, here.
No,
so
skipping.
Yeah. So I was like, I played at these like tiny, tiny places and I wouldn't invite any of my friends or anything just to learn.
Uh-huh. In LA?
In LA, okay. Yeah. And I lived there with my friends. And so we made an EP in my friend's like room and he did it for me and it was really fun. And then after that, basically I was like, okay, what now? And then again, Scott Klausner comes into play and he's like, well,
that's our dad.
Yeah. That's our dad. Sorry. You're like, yeah. Oh, okay. Is okay. That? Sorry. Oh my gosh.
Previously referred to as dad.
Yeah. Dad. And he was just like, you should go on a tour. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't have, how do you do that? And he was like, well, let's just call everyone we know and see who they know.
Oh my God.
Wow. Across the country and just see if they'll let you play in their living room or coffee shop or whatever. And that's what
amazing.
We did.
Amazing.
Like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. And it was like,
so like how many cities was that?
Yeah.
It was 3 months and it was like, I mean, it was, we went as far as DC and back.
Wow.
So
who
a
went with
friends
you?
With me.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't know them very well prior to that experience. It was really, again, this, here's another story of it being like, thanks to so many people supporting along the way, you know?
Yeah.
So you just called venues and booked yourself.
It wasn't like, and this, yes, I love that question because that felt really mysterious to me forever as far as like, okay, like I'm playing these, they weren't venues. Like I played at Johnny Carino's in Kentucky, you know, like while there was sports going on behind me, you know, like that was about as big.
Anywhere,
of a
not the rock club, Johnny Carino's. Right?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I meant the Italian place, that Italian chain. What is that called?
I have no idea.
There's this Italian chain that's kind of like
Spaghetti
Olive
Factory?
Garden or Old Spaghetti Factory or something, but it's like
in Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but you did you then call these like restaurants?
My
and
friend
cafes?
Did.
Okay.
I knew someone in Kentucky who was like, "Why? I've got a place." And so it wasn't. There was not venues.
Okay.
It wasn't like that because forever I was like, "How does someone play?" A cool, you know, like how do you play a show at a venue? That was really mysterious to me.
Were you selling your EP?
Yeah, I was selling my EP and just kind of like staying at people's houses and just doing this thing.
Were you like, I'm doing it. This is.
Oh yeah,
I made it.
Oh, it was the biggest adventure. It was crazy. Yeah, it felt really cool.
And just to pause, where were you two at this time?
College.
Well, you would have graduated. No. Yeah, we were in college.
Yeah, you were in college.
College.
Freshman, sophomore year.
Together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did go to the same place.
We didn't mean to, but we did.
No, yeah. That's true. In
so
fact,
that's
we like
a lot of things. You're like, we didn't mean to.
No. Probably true. No, it's true. But we are drawn to the same things. So
there you go.
It happens.
And not studying music.
No.
No.
Okay.
No. So what did you guys think of what she was doing?
Oh, so cool. We were always so proud of her. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I remember emailing. I like found this Facebook message recently where I had emailed her and I was like, hey, I like really like that one song that you're singing right now. And like, I remember one time you did something where you like sang really, really loud. And I was like, it sounded.
I want to read that.
Oh, it's gone. I probably took like a screenshot or something. But anyways, I just was like, you should like sing really loud more often. You like sound really good. Okay,
so
I love
cute.
You. Bye.
So funny. I'm
little
like,
did you know.
I yeah. know. That's, yeah. So
that's
funny.
Awesome.
Whoa. That's crazy.
So like, so what year is this that we're talking about now?
Okay.
2010.
Yep, 2010. Yeah, okay. I graduated college 2009. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, 2010. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, so then you finish that tour.
I go back to working at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, oh, yeah. And
which Starbucks?
This one, I started in LA, in West Hollywood, and then I...
Which West Hollywood Starbucks?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Was it the one on Beverly and Detroit? So it was like La Brea and Beverly.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, well, I lived in West Hollywood up until like November.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. People listening in LA, they know their Starbucks. So.
Yeah, that's where I worked. Awesome. That's where I started.
All right.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, you were dreaming big.
Gosh, yeah. That's a whole other like novel in and of itself. Uh-huh. LA and Starbucks and everything.
I want that novel.
Yeah.
Actually, I went a little bit deep last night, and mostly deep in through Instagram.
To creep you out.
Which is funny. I mean, that's the way that filtery. I can like you can learn a story more than like interviews or even, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you go back far enough, you're like, whoa, this is how this is really how it started. And I found a post where you're like, know, throwback to, you know, 2011 when I was working in Starbucks and like saying to a friend, like, you know, I'd really just love to be in like playing at the Middle East in Boston.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's happening. Yeah. It's crazy. And
that was crazy. I love it. Wow.
So I want that novel. Anyway. Okay. Continue.
Yeah. That was a crazy. You have to have those moments, by the way, of just like realizing that like distance that you traveled, you know, literally and figuratively.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
But
it's nice. Incidentally, just while we're on it, you guys are very great at social media.
Whoa, thank you.
I love it's like very endearing and lovely, beautiful posts. And who runs it? Is it like a
it's all of us.
Yeah. Group effort. Yeah. Thank you.
Well then.
Thank you.
Always. I also like the blog. Do you have like a little bloggy thing? Or is that what you call it these days? A blog?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wonder what blog you
found. I don't
think
we use that word anymore.
No, I felt wrong.
But I don't know really, what's our place
it. It felt wrong. It felt like just new. Like it was just like little updates on like what's happening. But it was so like website. Also you had a like meet Joe.
Yeah.
And you all had like little things about like what you and what your like dreams are.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
I need to update
so
that
sweet.
Bad. There's a couple on there
that was a label idea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was like,
I looked at it.
This is so nice.
It works.
It works. Thank you. It really is. It's I could get into gushing about how nice it is to come into like an interview scenario where you know something already.
I thought you were gonna say you could gush about your label, who is encouraging you to do these nice things and like sets up a nice website and really, I mean, I imagine we'll get there. Yeah. Hopefully,
I'm close. I'm really close, actually. Yeah, I'm super, super close to that moment.
All right, Starbucks.
Okay, so I had done that tour, and then it was like really like, okay, what do I do now, right? Because there's like no development, and so I had friends who were like, we want to go on tour with you. So we did a tour together, which was really fun, but we basically did the exact same thing. Like we went to the same people's houses, the same Italian restaurant in Kentucky, you know, like, and so by the time we got to Chicago, I was hanging out with my friend Topher, and he's a very blunt person. And he called me out and he just like looked at me and was like, you don't even believe in this.
Whoa.
Yeah. He was like, what are you doing? Like, why would you make art that you didn't think anyone needed? And
mm-hmm. That's real talk.
What did he mean by that?
And then he followed that up with, you should be so excited about this that you want to run it to people's hands.
Huh.
And I think he was like pointing out this thing in me that was really, really true. And that was just like, I was making these songs and I was trying to think what other people would like, right? So I was like writing these songs like, oh, this will be a crowd pleaser or whatever, mm-hmm. but not really. Like if someone would have asked me in my heart of hearts, I would have been like, that's a cheesy song. Do you know what
when
I mean?
When he said that, did you immediately know what he was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I already felt that. I was mm-hmm. like, it felt lackluster. It didn't feel like meaningful. Yeah.
He felt there was an opening for him to say that and you not to get really offended.
Well, you know, it's like, Topher doesn't mind being a little offensive when it comes to like,
so great.
It, when it comes to that, because he's like, he's just extremely honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it felt, maybe
it must have been your vibe and like what you were, just the way that you were talking about the music or something.
Totally. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a moment. And he was like, you need to be compelled by your own music. What are you going to do to make that happen?
That also sounds like a really scary thing because it's like, yeah. okay, if I'm writing this music and it's like the best that I think I'm like can do, I'm mm-hmm. really trying here. But like, totally. No, you try on yeah. another level that right. like, it's like go mm-hmm. time. And yeah. that sounds scary.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah. I'm trying to think what I don't know why it occurred to me as like the most natural thing to do to just text Megan and Allie and be like, hey, you want to be in a band with me?
Oh, that was it? That was the moment?
That was the moment.
Wow.
Because I was like, it just came to me. I was trying to think yesterday, like, what was my vision for that? And I don't think I really had any other than just like, I know they can sing. Like, that could be fun.
Mm-hmm. And, okay.
You know.
How did you know they could sing?
Rascal Flatts, yeah.
In the kitchen.
They would sing to the country radio at home in our 7 acres in Estacada, Oregon.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Did you ever sing three-part harmony together?
No. We would, if she would come home and like be singing her song, sometimes we would like kind of like sing in the background a little bit. Like harmonize.
Never like, okay. Never loud enough.
Never like no. wail.
But no, like no. you knew that no. they had that natural ear.
I did,
that
could yeah. do it. Yeah. I didn't really know. When I fully found out, like when we started doing it,
mm-hmm.
it floored me because I didn't realize to what extent they could do
this. Like, do you remember right. when you tried it for the first time for real? Like, let's Ooh. See if we can do this.
I don't remember a specific like okay. starting moment, but yeah. I do remember certain songs in the beginning that were just like, oh my God. I mean, okay, you know this feeling, I'm sure. It's just like when something clicks musically, there is like, it's a certain kind of euphoria, you know, it's like, whoa, that was special. And there's like a sparkly sheen on everything, you know, like it was totally like that. I would say like High Society was one of those and Gunsmoke was another one that just felt just like
ancient
so
songs
powerful.
Of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but you asked them to do this project before you had written songs that would necessarily work.
Yeah.
You just said,
we were still just singing a harmony to her song.
Just, exactly. okay. yeah. just yep. joining in.
Yeah.
And then did you rethink the genre or the style? I mean, was it totally back to the drawing board?
Well, I don't think we ever thought about genre, did we?
No. It was whatever
wrote.
Happened yeah. when we tried the songs.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Do you remember getting like was it a text or a phone call
text.
Or an email?
Text.
Do you remember?
Very formal.
Is it like a, like, do you remember that moment of like, and probably you didn't think at that time, and we'll be on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah. no.
you know, of course, you don't think
way.
That. You'll think we'll go to Kentucky and
exactly.
do that
go to
together.
The restaurant with her.
Right. But where yeah. were you guys at this point?
We had just both quit college. Oops. And
why? What was that decision?
We were just spending so much money and like didn't know what we were doing and was just kind of like, maybe we'll like take a break. We meant to go back and then Natalie swooped us up. So
sorry. Wait, that's crazy though that you both dropped out at the same time.
No, I dropped out first. Megan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dropped out. Like, she did a year and a half and I did 2 years.
Okay. Were your parents freaking out or?
No, they were like totally with
They're
us
so
in
awesome.
That decision.
They're like, we don't want to waste our money.
Yeah.
Either, so we'll figure it out.
Well, yeah. I overheard, they didn't mean for me to overhear. We just had a super small house yeah. at the time, but I overheard a conversation where they were like, oh, well, we can also give up this thing to like put them through college. And
oh,
like,
man.
What about this thing? And I just was like, oh my gosh.
Not
like,
worth
it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Like, incredible that we have parents that are like that, who are willing to do that. And and I just was like, whoa, not doing that to mm-hmm. you guys. And so I backed out, and then Allie. Which the first 2 years were like the most important anyways. That's when you like make all your friends.
It's all social.
Right. Yeah.
You're paying for a social.
Right.
Yeah.
You are. It's true. I said that to someone at work yesterday. I was like, that was the most expensive party I've ever been
to. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. So then you hit them up and you were like, let's try this.
Yeah. We thought she was joking. Like we
really?
Yeah. It was like so casual in the beginning.
And I don't think... I didn't have a vision for it at all. I just knew that it would be fun to try singing together. And then once it happened and I had that moment, I did have a moment where I was like, oh shit, this is like real. Like this is going to be something, you know, that feels, that's important to me at least. I wasn't thinking like everyone's going to, you know, but to me, I just was like, oh, this is the thing that compels me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Were you, did you go back to Portland to start working on it?
We were in Portland and Seattle.
I was still living in Seattle and you guys were mostly in Portland.
Right? Allie like wouldn't come to some shows because she was like, you didn't tell me about that. Sorry.
I was like, sorry, I won't be there.
Yeah.
Tell me in time. I made cool other plans.
One. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The cool one. There you go.
I was so, I didn't want to commit.
No.
Interesting.
Well, and that's what you,
I'm
Natalie,
too cool for this band.
I know. I was like, no thanks. But then Natalie was saying, once we joined, we like started getting these like opportunities.
Exactly. And that's where the venue thing comes
right,
back
don't
into
skip
play.
That.
Because it's like, because that is that weird leap where you're like, how the hell, you know? And it was just this thing that really was, okay, now I really believe in this music. And I feel like because of that, the connection like with the audiences feels real, you know? And through that, we ended up just getting asked to do things, you know, and it was small. Like I think the step by step was basically like, you know, maybe it was Gabe Much. Like
that was the
it was like we knew this band from SPU, and they went out on a limb for us, and they invited us to play at their awesome show,
sold out show at the
sold
Crocodile.
Out show. So yeah, like the Crocodile.
What was that? Miranda Lambert?
No, Miranda Lambert.
That was a different.
What's her name?
Mary Lambert. No.
What? That wasn't the same show.
Who sings I Can't?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I can't change even if I The Macklemore try. Song.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I can't remember her name.
Yep, Mary. I think
okay. It is Mary.
But anyway, so she was playing on this bill and it was a really cool, awesome show. And they just took a chance on us. And
yeah, we were like, what? It was like our biggest thing. We bought new outfits and everything.
Yeah. Like, so cute.
Yeah.
Was it just guitar and voices?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
it's
totally
been that forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll say though, like we started getting asked, and I guess this leads into us quitting our jobs, but we started getting just like enough opportunities that we were having to turn down because we were working, that we kind of had the conversation with our parents, and they were like, how about you just put your stuff here and you move in and you quit your jobs, mm-hmm. and you do the gigs and like start doing that. And we played, I think our famous gig is the Sandy Hearth, where we would get $100 and pizza and beer. And it was
there
like,
was like no mics,
oh my gosh,
at one
we
point.
Making money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
People were just eating pizza and we were singing in the,
in
corner,
the corner
awkwardly.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So awkward.
But I will say that, like, even to like talk about demystifying this.
Yeah.
Like, even when we were opening for bands, which felt like this huge step, right? We got to play in these clubs because of this relational thing. Mm-hmm. Even when that happened, I did not know how to make the leap to a venue taking a chance on us being a headliner. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not happening.
Right.
And I sent email after email. And even, like, people told me, like, we would play at a venue as an opener. Then they would say, send us an email and we'll think of you for bigger bands that come through town. Mm-hmm. And I did that. I did that thing. And they didn't. They didn't ask us to come back. And until... We worked it and we made a buzz ourselves, which is what happened.
Mississippi Studios was probably the first.
But that happened after we did, because it was like, so it was like this is when the tables turned. So it was just kind of like, we're opening, we're doing the same.
Did you have Native Dreamer Ken yet? Your first album?
And that was what made the tables turn for us. So we had that record and we did the Noise Trade thing that I was explaining, and we did the house show tour. And from that kind of it really, it's again, it's community, right? It's like from people talking about that and make, people yeah. saying like,
you make friends, they like your music, friends, they tell their
people
friends,
people post like, about right. it. It's like, it created that buzz, you mm-hmm. know, that was like, oh, that's a name that I've heard. That's kind of weird. You know, like it's
did
awareness.
Did you feel like you were hustling when you look back on it? Art, do you feel like you were actively trying to make these connections and like meet people and hand out your CDs? Or was it like, mm-hmm. just kind of people would come to you when the universe was starting.
It was a lot of work, but it also felt kind of natural.
It was really, it did feel really sparkly, like charmed, as you say. Like it, at the time, it didn't feel like work at all. Yeah, and it didn't feel like I'm gonna go to this event so that I can make a connection. Yeah, yeah. Right. What's the word? There's a word.
I think
for
it's
that.
Never been forceful, but it's been a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Does sure. that make sense?
But yeah. as far as like.
Who's the best networker? Among
right.
The networker.
Was it wasn't right. networking. You feel like it wasn't.
Natalie's the best networker.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We also, right in the beginning, we knew all these people that were it was embarrassing, Insta famous.
Yeah.
Really?
You knew them? Like personally?
Yeah. We had just jumped into this group of friends and they're great, great humans. And we were like, this is kind of interesting. We're putting out an album. We were like, I wonder if we sent these people our album, mm-hmm. if they would post about it.
Smart
on Instagram
and so that's makers.
So we like
yeah. tastemakers.
Tastemakers. Yeah.
That's a thing now.
Yeah. yeah. So. Well, and we wrote an email too, just saying hey, and this it honestly did feel like it was on the cusp of now that being a big marketing thing that big companies
for sure.
will do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it felt like it was before that. But we wrote an email just saying
to who?
Hey, this is Instagram people who were, and so large thanks to the, if anyone's
huge
listening,
thanks.
Huge thanks to them because
someone with thousands of followers mm-hmm. would post about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. They created such a buzz about us. Cause people yeah. All of a sudden, all of these famous Instagrammers were just, mm-hmm. were all posting about us at the same time.
Wow. Exactly. Were you, and you were personally friends with them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we had sent them an email hey, here it is. It's coming out in a week and we wanted to give it to you. And if it moves you, if it speaks to you, that would be awesome if you said something. Please don't if it doesn't,
Yeah.
So
what was the process of the album? Who produced that for you or
yeah,
worked on it with you?
Yeah, my roommate was dating this guy named Andrew who is one of those mystical creatures that is he. Oh man,
he's
should be so much more famous
member of
than
Joseph.
He is.
Yeah,
yeah, he's an incredible creative, and mm-hmm. he came in in this whoosh of sparkle, and I was like, whoa, something's important here.
Love how much sparkle is happening?
Yeah. I'm just feeling it.
Sparkle and charm.
Yeah, and he came out to a show and was like, I'll produce your record for you. We'll work on the songs. And
he's
basically
co-written
created
a bunch
the sound.
Of songs.
Yeah.
He did.
Wow.
Cause I had these. So I'll give you an example. Here's a very tactile example. Mm-hmm. I had a song called Right Here. Mm-hmm. And it was a country song. Yeah. It's here, right here where I am. And it was something about oh yeah, the first line was, I've been looking for someone to hold on to, sturdy arms and heart. That's all I ask. Right. that was the lyric. And Andrew sat down the first time with me and I played it. I was like, I like this song a lot. I like the chorus. I like when Megan and Allie harmonize on it. But it's pretty cheesy. And he goes, okay, go ahead and go get some beer, come back. And I came back and he had written this song that's now called Lifted Away. And he had turned this thing that was he basically grabbed my own guts out of me and presented them to me and said, here they are.
Oh man.
It's real though.
And a beautiful
and
way.
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. No, totally. And it seems like that's metaphoric for the experience.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And how does Lifted Away start? He wrote this thing that he sang it to me and I just lost my I was just
oh, man.
Wow, that's what I meant. That's what I meant right there.
Mm-hmm. You had found your magical
spirit guide.
Ingredient. Yeah.
Ingredient. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah.
So you all write on songs though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now we do.
Now we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Had you moved to Portland and moved back home?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you developed. We all moved to Portland when we quit our job. Right. We all moved to Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that your parents must have been in heaven, or yeah, was it like, amazing. Oh, was this a good decision?
I'm sure.
Wait, is anyone still living with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We're never home. We're never home. To be fair, but
you're like only technically.
All our stuff is there.
Yeah. I just hide in the garage. I'm sorry, that sounded creepy. I have a room out
I
there.
Lurk in the garage.
Her room is in the garage.
That is so creepy. Aside from the garage, that's so dreamy.
I know.
It's so aside like from the garage. Like, such a dream family.
Yeah it is.
That. Cute.
They're the best.
We're grateful.
So, okay, so you're Insta famous a little bit. Awesome.
So funny.
And then.
I love Insta famous.
Oh, yeah. So this, we found this out later. So we went on that tour and we also played in a wedding with a guy named Noah Gunderson because he was friends of friends and he is an incredible musician as well that I had looked up to. And he was like, wow, you guys are like doing stuff, which felt like really cool. Right. And he was like, I'll tell my booking agent about you. And that for me was like, the word booking agent, I realized was like
total magic.
The holy grail.
That is the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was
more
like,
than
that
like
is what we
label,
need.
Label, like record label.
Or oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Booking. Because I don't want to do this. I was,
Natalie had been
like,
doing all of the booking.
I don't want to hustle this booking anymore. It's tough and we're not getting into clubs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't.
Did you have music videos yet?
Oh, good.
Yeah, we had Cloudline.
Oh, yeah, we did. One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was that again a friend again, situation, knowing people?
Again, it was friends who was like, we'll do this for the price of renting this like really nice camera and that's it. Awesome. And we were like,
side note, that felt really expensive at the time. I remember thinking, we don't have $2,000. Yeah. Like, how will we do that? Right. And it's funny looking back now, like, how
$2,000 video looks beautiful.
They did it for at such a cheap rate. Yeah.
So
Noah had said that thing, I'll tell my booking agent. So when High Road Touring, which I loved because of Lucius, we love
sick,
Lucius. Mm-hmm. I love Lucius.
Right.
And .com. And I was like, took note of High Road Touring because of that. So when we got an email from a guy named Matt Hickey from High Road Touring, I was like, holy shit. Like Noah said something. This is amazing. Wow. Come to find out later that it hadn't been through Noah at all. Like someone else had seen our record on Noise Trade and had been intrigued by the art.
Wow.
By the art. And she was in the industry and she just started dispersing it to like all of her industry friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Charmed.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like
crazy. Like we have no control over that.
But you
created the product that got that attention.
Well, sure. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we took like 6 Polaroid photos and we were like, that one.
Sure.
And like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My friend was like, put on this tutu and you like, you know.
It was the same kind of thing with the like, not maybe not to like jump too far, but jumping. But like with the getting to play with James Bay was because we were playing this dinky little show at this place called Slaughtered Lamb in London. It was like our first time ever playing there. And
have you played there?
I feel like Slaughtered Lamb.
It's got the
like
creepy like red, what is it? Pentagram.
Super scary
in the like corner. Anyways, it's scary and it's like in a basement, but anyways, we like did a show with this group called Communion. They're so cool and they've helped us out a bunch. So they were hosting the show and we like play the show. So funny, we like went and we were all like, oh, we're in terrible moods, like wow, and like did a sound check and we were like, this sounds so bad and like what are we doing? And then we like get it together, play the show. It was magical. And we were like, okay, that was actually like the best thing. Mm. And then a couple months later, we get contacted and asking if we want to open for James Bay. And we're like, whoa, like our label must have like done something really cool. How did we get that?
You were on the label already.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point. Yeah. And then we found out that James's girlfriend was the one that was like hosting the show with Communion. And she was like, I like these girls a lot. I think you would like them. So you just like
again,
never
it's
know
like
who
you're
you
never plan that.
Yeah,
you can't network that.
But isn't James Bay also on ATO?
No, he's with Republic, I think.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So that's gonna be at Radio City.
Yes,
we're so excited.
I'm like
stupid.
Pretty
wow,
pretty floored by that.
Is that gonna be the biggest venue you've played?
Biggest, but definitely probably one of the like most important.
Prestigious.
Right.
How many does it hold? Do you guys know?
I don't know.
We played with James recently overseas in England.
Oh yeah,
and we played a bunch of outdoor, like festival-y type things. There were like 9,000 people.
Wow.
Which I don't know that I ever want to do that again.
How does that feel? I mean, did you have to get comfortable?
I hated it. It's such incredible fans. Please.
Yeah, please. Less people like it. Just a couple hundred, please.
No, no.
I think, no. It was incredible opportunity and experience for sure. Our like sound doesn't cater to being outside. And
mm-hmm. Did you have a full band then?
No,
it was just the three of you.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
All of our shows with him are just the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now it's going to be a band.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, yes, but not
our headline shows will be with a band. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your headline. Yeah.
Not our opening ones.
Yeah.
Cool. How do you, do you get stage fright? Do you get nervous?
Sometimes, yeah. Not a lot, though.
I get like nervous for the weirdest things.
Me
we like
too.
Played this thing, this like little radio gig in Portland to like 30 people or something.
No, somehow that's like, more. Whoa. That could be more almost nerve wracking.
Yeah, you can like look everyone in the eye.
Literally.
Yeah.
Right.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is so weird. Yeah.
I would say like, summary, if we can say like the things that kind of have gotten us to this place, if we can, I think it's obviously hard work. It's like putting yourself in front of people if you can, you know, in like whatever capacity. It's relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been the just biggest tool. If you can even call it that, but it just feels like, I don't think
both like the reason why you do it and also the way that it happens, you know,
and it doesn't, and I'll just say this, like getting to the place we are, wherever that is, like the people, all the way up have been like, so wonderful, and they get better the like more you go, and I think there's like this idea sometimes you think like, oh, people are like so skeezy and they like force themselves into this and like
want to take advantage
and,
of you.
Yeah, and it just like isn't like that. Like the people who are still in it, because there's not as much money in it anymore, like the people who are still in it
are the music business
incredible people. Mm-hmm. They're so good.
That was
so
like,
it just is like, just be yourself, be genuine, like
yeah.
do put yourself in front of people, work yes. really hard, do the shitty gigs that like aren't good, but you might get pizza and beer out of it, so it's not
right,
totally
it sounds
bad.
Like what you've attracted are the good people, you know,
and also maybe because you're not based in LA, for example, you don't
totally.
Have to see the most disgusting side of the business all the time.
So true.
Right.
Well, so true. I have seen a little bit living in LA,
uh-huh.
now that you mention it.
Uh-huh.
And there's something really interesting. It's kind of, there's kind of this, what's the word I'm looking for? Like bottom feeder or something, like this idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are people who don't feel good enough about themselves that they're like, they have to, they just have to like latch on to this idea of like, I am a big shot music person.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And you can tell the snakes after the fact, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, you're just like exuding insecurity and like you have to be macho to like cover that up and all these things. And I have encountered that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, living in LA, I can't tell you how many times I met someone and I thought, oh, this is like my new friend. And then 2 days later, I'm like, oh, it was networking.
Ew.
I have heard that about LA so much.
Because did you work with Billboard while you were in
LA? I worked at the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, wow.
I was like, a lot in the film TV scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's all the same. I mean, it's an industry town, whether it's music or film, whatever, entertainment.
It's so ugly. I hate that so much.
Yeah, it's incredibly utilitarian there.
Yeah.
I feel like people are looking on how you can help them all the time in that town.
Right.
It's
just not everything is like LA. LA is just LA, which is so weird. Outside of LA, that's just, we don't encounter that.
There's
really.
Also cool pockets. I think like,
not everyone's horrible.
Right.
blanketing.
But I will say about LA, because I think I'm trying to think how many times we went down there, maybe like once or twice or something. We played a show and we were all like, oh my gosh, this feels so bad. Like we have to like impress everyone,
impress everybody
because like everybody's a
wants something from us.
But it was so interesting because I think it was Natalie. I don't remember. We were all like sitting in the car, like driving down to LA, and we were all kind of like, oh man, we have this show and
feeling
like
insecure.
Kinda, feeling bad. And, and then somebody was like, what if like we stepped in kind of like, rather than being like, oh no, we have to like prove ourselves, what if instead we were like, what can we like give to these people in like singing and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like,
Because it seems like people just like get taken. There's from. Like that where you're like networking and you're trying to get something from people.
And we're like, well, we don't want to take anything from these people because that's what happens every single day. And so we were like, well, let's go in with this mentality of like taking care of these people and like almost like nurses. We were like, you know, like maybe this music can be just like a second of like relief or like release that's or cool. something for mm-hmm. them. And it shifted our entire experience down there in like the whole entire
and
show.
Overall.
And where we literally had people after that show, after we said that, that they were like, I literally felt like so taken care of. Or what did they say?
I had two people come up to me. One goes, I feel so given to. And then the next person goes like, you guys felt like nurses coming in here.
Literally.
I'm not getting.
And we were like, so weird. But it was cool because it was, it just like completely shifted the perspective of like going there and being like, oh, okay, we have something to offer rather than like just
give
like
us what, you, right.
Give exactly. us your ears, be right. our audience.
Exactly. Totally. It's
let
opposite.
Us perform for you, you know?
Well, I think we're still like learning that too and still like continuing to shift our perspective even. Because James Bay does that so well where he comes into a space and he's just like, I am going to take care of you and like you're good, mm-hmm. you know? And he doesn't like need anything
and treating people who you work with like that as well.
He
is
the tipped up like kindest best human. Mm-hmm. Like we had a tiny show in London recently where we headlined and
like 120 people.
Yeah, and he and his whole band and like crew came out to our show.
Wow.
Yes, and when we're like, you're famous here, like people like there were a couple people that I think someone was like, oh yeah, James Bay was here. And people were like, what, James Bay? What? You know? And I was like, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
Like,
that's awesome.
Kind
so
person.
Supportive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That kind of people, you're like, oof.
Right.
Stick with them.
Of course, you want to support them. You want to like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I know you guys are going to play a song for us. So I sadly think we have to wrap up the convo. Dara is going to cry and hate me for this.
No, I'm excited to hear it. The new album is gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And it is out now by the time this podcast posts.
Yay.
So go get it, guys.
Yeah,
and are you guys like performing around? Yeah. You're on tour? Oh, yeah. What's happening?
Wait, I'm Alone. No, you're
almost.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
So good. Yeah.
Record. I'm Alone. No, you're not.
Yeah, we're about to head out on September 5th or something we'll do like a little headlining gig on the West Coast.
Okay.
Open for James Bay on like the East and West. And then we'll do another headlining gig on like the East Coast.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find them. They're out there waiting for you.
Oh, yeah.
They will feed your soul. All right. What are you going to sing for us today?
I think we're singing SOS Overboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
We do the pop tune for you.
Okay. Pop it up. It is Billboard.
Pop it up.
Yeah, like our pop hits.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great song. So awesome. Very excited. All right.
Great video.
Great
song.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
You don't see me. My eyes are closed and I swear you can't see me. I want you close, but my arms are holding you back. I wait for you, but hold my shut. You don't see me, but come here close till my hands don't pull off the blinds. Look me in the eyes. I know there's something. Ooh, I know there's something for you. Lately I'm shadows shadows hold me
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.